over and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say. Listen. If we're being honest, they should have lost that game by about 70 to 100 points. If you think about everything that went wrong in that football game, they should have been annihilated. Annihilated. It was 28-0. Nothing. Jordan Love threw three picks. That third one was ridiculous. Tucker Kraft fumbled the ball trying to get out of bounds. That was ridiculous. Every challenge that came up, they lost for the most part. I take that back. There was one that they got away with on the McKinney interception that probably wasn't an interception. But outside of that, they had literally nothing go their way all day. You had Jordan Love coming off of injury from the last 2 weeks. He didn't look all that mobile to me necessarily. At one point, he was limping after he got hit. No Jaire Alexander, no Carrington Valentine. And if you think Eric Stokes is better than those two, well, you're wrong. He's not. So you're without your two best cornerbacks. Christian Watson almost had his knee to his foot ripped off of his leg on one play, which ended up being an interception by Jordan Love. Which, again, that was somewhat luck by the Vikings, I would say. Guy was lying on the ground as it fell to him. So you lose your best wide receiver, depending who you are. But either way, so no Alexander, no Valentine, no Christian Watson in the game. Your field goal kicker, who I warned everybody before the season, when they traded for a rookie, I said, you might as well have kept Carlson. At least he kicked in the stadium for a year and knows how the weather plays. Now, it's going to be a learning process every game with Narvison. So what was going on? You heard the announcers talking about it. The flags were blowing one way. On the field, it wasn't doing that. It was something completely different. Well, if I've never kicked in those field positions before or those wind conditions, I have no idea. Then they said, before the game started, Narvison couldn't make field goals either way. He couldn't make them either way. So when you get out there into the game and he ain't making them, I don't know how Matt LaFleur could possibly be shocked. I have no idea. So that's 6 points right there. One of them bounced off the upright. If that one bounces in instead of out, you win. You very well may have won the game if it just bounces in instead of the other way off the upright. Y'all, they should have been destroyed. I tweeted out when it was 28-0. I was like, hey, man, last 20 or 30 years, haven't seen much of this on the Packers side. We're very fortunate. A lot of teams see this on a regular basis sometimes for a year or two or longer. So I was like, hey, it happens. It's a bad game. Like, nothing's going right. Whatever. And then you make this run back into this thing and got yourself right back into it. Had every opportunity to come back and maybe win this football game. Your defense? Mr. Halfley, we need to talk. Your front four is not as good as you think your front four is. It's not. Rashawn Gary, all the money they're paying him right now ain't worth it. Sorry. Not worth it. Not that guy. Preston Smith, Lucas Van Ness, all these guys. They're not good enough to just let them rush the quarterback and go, they'll get there. They're not good enough. Plain and simple. And these two Vikings tackles are pretty good. So I don't want to take anything away from them. All I'm saying is, when you have one-on-ones, because these guys aren't getting double-teamed left and right up front anymore, you got to win some of your matchups sometimes. You got to beat your guys sometimes. That Tennessee Titans game, when they went back and looked at the film at all those sacks, I think it was 6 out of 8 weren't stunts, weren't anything. Packers defensive linemen simply beat Titans offensive linemen. Today, that wasn't happening. It should not take you over a half a football to figure out that you need to blitz. It should take you a half. Like, after the first quarter, Matt LaFleur should have been like, hey, I'm not trying to get in your business, but this ain't working. Like, we need to try and move him off the spot and do something. But why working? Third and one, and Darnold takes off running because you're running four at him. He runs upfield 10, 15 yards. Again, nothing went right, and you lost by two with a chance to win. I know, there are no moral victories, especially when you're a team that's supposed to be competing for a Super Bowl and all this other stuff. I got news for you. This team's still going to compete for a Super Bowl. This team's still going to be in the playoffs. This team still very well might win this division. They're 2-2. Fine. I mean, if you think the Vikings are going to win 17 straight, by all means, maybe they will, and I'll be wrong. Nah, I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to lose 4 or 5 games. They're going to. So while we were all anxious and mad throughout the game, disappointed, it's fine. I saw people on Twitter roasting Milwaukee fans that were going to the Green Bay game that sold their tickets, and that's why there's so many damn Vikings fans here, and this is why Packer fans in Green Bay were upset that the Milwaukee ticket base got all these tickets for the Bears, the Lions, the Vikings. They got all three divisional games this year. Why are they upset? Because the Milwaukee fans always end up selling their tickets, and the opposing teams end up in the stadium. And I can't blame them for being upset, because clearly there was a ton of Vikings fans there today. Clearly. All right, let's go. That's my opening rant, monologue, whatever you want to call it. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. That's where I'm at. I am mad, but at the same point, I'm kind of impressed that they got made this damn thing a game. I am kind of impressed that they came back and made this thing a game. Because I think a lot of people probably turned this thing off at 28-0, decided to watch something else, or go outside and work on their lawn, or go to the pumpkin farm, or whatever, and gave up on this team. Greg and Waukesha, your first up Green Bay football postgame show, driven by Young Express, here on 1250 AM The Fan. See Sparky Pfeiffer with you. What's up?
Well, Sparky, you know, there's always next year.
Shut up! You know, stop!
I only say that. Okay. I only say that.
You're not a Cubs fan, Greg.
I know, but I only say that because, I mean, Love, okay, looked great for like three passes.
He wasn't very good today at all. He threw for almost 400 yards. He was throwing balls behind guys regularly, throwing balls at guys' feet. He wasn't very good today at all. He had nice yardage numbers, but he didn't play well today.
Yeah, and I guess there's going to be, I think, if Malik Willis remains in Green Bay, there's going to be a significant quarterback battle next season.
No.
You don't think Malik Willis stays in Green Bay?
No, I think Malik Willis stays in Green Bay, but Jordan Love is an MVP-type player, and Malik Willis is not. So, no, there will not be a quarterback battle. He's missed the last couple of weeks. I'm sure there was something to the fact of dealing with that leg and having that brace on and playing for the first time with that brace and trying to get himself comfortable to make sure if he took a hit or whatever the case may be, he'd be okay. I think that's all part of it at this point.
But, Sparky, didn't Malik – okay, who would you trust rather – you know, like, okay, we saw a small sample size, granted, with Malik Willis. Who would you rather trust, Malik Willis or Jordan Love, to lead this team for the rest of the season? Jordan Love, the way he played today. Jordan Love, the way he's played. The guy throws more balls away from Packers receivers than he does to them.
But yes,
you know?
He has to get better. I'm not saying he's not going to get better. We saw all second half of last year him be money. There's no reason to believe that he's not going to be that guy again. And with him playing bad, with him having three interceptions, they scored 29 points, Greg. 29 points in most weeks is going to beat the opposing team by at least 10 points. That's not, I mean, they didn't get beat 28-3 and they couldn't move the ball, Greg.
Yeah, I don't know. Something needs to happen. And I actually thought the defense, I thought Rashawn Gary, I thought he, you know, was pretty good throughout the whole game. You know, like, I thought the defense finished strong, so we'll agree to disagree about that. But, you know,
That's fine, Greg. We can agree to disagree on stuff. That's part of what makes this world go round. Thanks for the call, Greg. I appreciate you. 31-29. We have to go inside the box score here at one point or another, and we will, for sure. Sacks in this game, Keyshawn Nixon and Quay Walker. That was the other thing. That Quay Walker sack? Where was Quay Walker, Tommy Wirtz? Where was Quay Walker before that ball was snapped?
He's right on the center.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do we see that a lot? No. See, this is the thing. And Christian Watson's dad tweeted out, like, dude, that's it. That's how you should play him. Yeah. He's not a Mike linebacker. Stop with this nonsense and let him attack the line of scrimmage. I agree. I'm with you. Right? Fine. I'm down with that. No issues. Let's go look at quarterback hits here quickly. Because this is something else to look at. Okay. So Keyshawn Nixon and Quay Walker both had sacks, so they both get quarterback hits. Fine. TJ Slayton had a quarterback hit. That's it. That's all. That's all they had. They had three. Folks, I'm telling you right now, I don't care who the quarterback is. If you don't touch him, he's going to have his way with you. He's going to have his way with you. It could be Caleb Williams, Justin Fields, whoever. Doesn't matter. Pick whoever you don't think are good quarterbacks. Throw them into that limelight and say, if you give them a clean pocket and they don't feel a bunch of pressure, how do you think they'll do? Odds are they're going to do well. Then give them a clean pocket, don't bring pressure, and then take out the top two cornerbacks for that same defense and see how that quarterback does. Then give that quarterback the best receiver in football in Justin Jefferson to play with too. Tell me how that's going to work. It's not. It's not going to work. So, yes, Jordan Love didn't play well. Jordan Love deserves a good amount of blame for this fiasco. Jeff Hafley deserves a good amount of blame for this fiasco as well. Both of them. They both deserve good amounts of blame. I can't put more talent into Keyshawn Nixon's body. I can't give Carrington Ballantyne more talent than he has or do anything with him. They are who they are at this point. Right? So they're not going to get any better, more than likely, going forward as defenders. So you knew coming in that was going to be a thing. And Jeff Hafley said, you know what? Okay, I'll let Addison beat us because I'm going to roll safety help over to take away Justin Jefferson. That was the plan. That would be a good plan if anybody got to the quarterback. But you didn't. So instead now, you're asking a corner to run around with Addison for 4 or 5 seconds while Darnold surveyed the field. Again, it's not going to work. It didn't work. None of it worked. Go ahead, Tommy Wirtz. I've yelled and screamed. You could call in and yell and scream too. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. What's up, Tommy?
Oh, gosh. I do want to say that the moral victory in this game is definitely first thing to highlight, right? Because this was looking very grim in the first half. 28-0. Not a fan. I bet you a lot of people tuned out, like you said. As for the Jordan Love play, I don't think it's a game to worry about by any means. I think in the first half, it was very apparent that he was not 100% coming into the game. He had the sleeve, not a brace, they kept saying. And then CBS even had said that before the game, he had told the sideline reporter, yeah, he's not 100%. He's just coming out. He wants to compete. He wants to play. I think that Matt LaFleur in the first half got away from his creativity. I do think the first drive, however, here's my belief. I have so much faith in Matt LaFleur. I think if everyone executes, he's going to score on the first drive of every single game this season.
Yep.
He draws up a plan like no one else. I mean, we're a Dontavian Wicks drop away from having a first down, and Narveson doesn't have to have that kick that goes off the upright at the 37-yard line, or 437 yards, rather. And it should have been a first down anyway. They should be going in to score, and that's going to change the game too. I also think that the adjustment for Hafley should be noted because the defense gave them every opportunity in the second half There was plenty of turnovers, right? We talked about the Tucker Kraft fumble. The Jordan Love third interception was just so unnecessary. I mean, the other two, whatever. But that third one was, he was scared to get hit by Harrison Smith, and he wanted to see what would happen. I will say that for how little pressure they get on the quarterback, they still defended the run very well today, too. And they were obviously playing from behind most of the time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Aaron Jones didn't beat him.
No. And they did everything in their power to get him a score today, too, and that didn't happen on top of it. I think that, you know, I hate to blame Goody on it, but the trading for the rookie kicker, we just smelled it the whole year, with the beginning of the year. We just knew it was going to be a possibility. He's missed every kick he's missed has been to the right the entire year. I just don't think he's going to have a job tomorrow. I don't think it's going to be in the cards at all.
Who's he going to go get? Tell me. Who? Where is he going to go find somebody?
Well, you know, it'd be great to have Greg Joseph, who couldn't miss on Thursday. Oh, wait, we did. We did have that. The Packers had Greg Joseph, and he hit from over 50 on Thursday. Gave the Giants a chance, too. I'm a little frustrated at the first half, but I actually leave this game thinking, okay, you know, if there's a fifth quarter, we're going to win that game. You know what I mean?
Who cares about a fifth quarter, man. I get it. Ain't nobody care about no damn fifth quarter. Listen, yes, you're right. Goody doesn't have patience. He wants to move on and find somebody that works. This is the thing. You invested a year and a postseason in which he missed a big kick in that Niners game in Carlson. Why? Because Bisaccia told you he's going to get better, let me work with him, and so forth. Then you bring in a million kickers, which is what you should have done last training camp when you brought in nobody. Then you bring in a million kickers, including Joseph the veteran, to kick against him. Joseph and Carlson were neck and neck, close as could be. I don't know this for a fact, but if I'm guessing, Bisaccia probably said, it's close, I want my boy Carlson. Goody was like, no, I want Joseph. They couldn't agree, so they slashed both of them, and they went out and got Narvison, because they both like Narvison coming out. So now what happens? Now you're in a situation where, like last year with Carlson, you're going to have to learn on the job and deal with missed kicks. It can be the same thing. It can be the same thing all over again. So, again, I'm sure there's some veteran kicker out there that's not very good, but I don't know what you're going to do. I don't believe there's a long-term solution for this position currently out there that you're going to be able to go pick up and then not have any issues with field goal kickers moving forward. Like, it's going to continue to be a thing all year. And I realize that a lot of people don't like investing draft picks into kickers. Fine. How are you going to find one that's going to work here long term?
Yeah.
Who is that guy going to be? I mean, Justin Tucker is struggling in Baltimore right now. He's been there for 100 years, and he's struggling this year. So there is no guarantees when it comes to kicker who's going to be here the longest. Gutekunst himself said that if he would have been in charge during that Mason Crosby era, Mason Crosby probably wouldn't have been here as long, because he doesn't deal with the struggling years. That's just... he doesn't want to have to worry about that position, like most front office people. He doesn't have any patience.
And it's always a gripe, right? The special teams, it always was something has to go wrong. But the rest of them have been awesome this year. Bisaccia has the team. I mean, look at how great the punts are this year.
Whelan is amazing. But that, how about this? What if you went to Whelan and said, I want you to kick field goals from now on? I'm done. I'm done wasting a roster spot with this, all this nonsense. So we're going to cut Narvison, and Whelan, you're going to start kicking field goals. Oh, you start practicing tonight.
I mean, I'm sure he's done it.
When the stadium clears out, you start kicking, and you're going to kick all week and get ready for our next game in L.A. against the Rams.
Who's
going
to hold? Who's going to hold then? The backup? Malik Willis has to hold now?
I don't care who holds.
It's an important part of the kick.
Fine, whatever. Figure it out. Figure it out. I guarantee you that's exactly what Goody would say. I don't care. Figure it out. Just get out of my office. I'm done dealing with this. You're a great punter. I'm sure you'd make a fine kicker. We're just going to save a roster spot so I don't got to worry about this anymore, and I'm going to go find somebody else to add to this roster that can help us.
It's just a frustrating way to lose a game. It's a very frustrating way to lose a game, especially when you have so much fire coming into the second half in the fourth quarter where you're all over it. Defense is making hold after hold after hold. Even when it's goal line situation, fourth and one, and they hold into a field goal. I know obviously that's the difference in the game, but you cannot fault the defense for that. I mean, Halfley, you want to complain that he took forever to adjust.
He sure did.
He adjusted. He figured it out.
They were down 28 by that point.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm glad he finally made the adjustment, Tommy. Don't get me wrong. But it shouldn't take a 28-0 hole before you decide to make a decision.
Two of those were interceptions that gave up short fields that Halfley didn't have. The first drive of the game, he got beat. He had a much better game plan, or O'Connell had a much better game plan than Halfley did. Absolutely. But there were two offensive turnovers that left Halfley in a screwed situation on top of it.
That's true. It didn't help. But again, you can't allow guys to score seven every time they're in the red zone.
And
that can't be a thing either.
We were talking about Keyshawn Nixon. There should have been no situation ever, I also want to say, that he should have been covering Justin Jefferson. That's just completely wrong.
So what's your left?
That is a Halfley mistake. That was off a turnover, though,
too. Yeah, but he's only got so many corners. What do you want him to do?
You elevated
two guys from the practice squad, and I don't think he wanted to have them out there playing to begin with.
No, and I think that the Jair news was a surprise before the game, that we weren't anticipating him to miss this game. And if you were going to say that, hey, they lose by two and they have a really hard-fought second half without Jair Alexander, I think that most Packer fans who are reasonable get it.
Oh, he was catching all kinds of flack on social media in the beginning of this game. Oh, Jair Alexander's not playing. He's ducking Justin Jefferson. Why are we paying him all this money if he can't stay healthy and be out on the field? He caught a ton of flack. And these aren't, the ones I saw weren't from Vikings fans, because I'm sure he was catching even more heat from them. I'm talking about people that root for the Green Bay Packers that were all over this dude before the game even started when they found out he wasn't playing.
He needs to play these games. This is why the Packers have invested so much money into him. He's one of the highest paid. Is he the highest paid corner in the league?
Highest paid corner in the league.
Yeah. He needs to play these games. He's going up against the highest paid receiver in the game. It's a storyline on top of it. Jair Alexander needs to play these games. Needs to play it. Especially when the depth at the corner position is not the Packers' strong suit.
Oh, I hear you. Packers come up losing this one. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Tommy Wirtz with you. Dial it up if you want a bucket dump, you want to vent a little bit. Let's go 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. And come back on the other side. We'll go inside the box. Some of it's okay. It's not all horrible, but the defensive side, not so good. Packers come up losers today, 31-29. They were down 28-0 in this thing. 28-0. Do you understand? They came back. They lost 31-29. They lost multiple. They missed multiple field goals. Jordan Love had three interceptions. Tucker Kraft fumbled the football. They were playing without their two best corners in Valentine, as well as Jair Alexander. And yet, they still were within two. And they lost Christian Watson, who went out on cart with an ankle injury as well. All of that happened. They lost by two. Am I mad about a lot of things that happened in this game? Yes. Am I fearful they're screwed for the rest of the season because of this? Absolutely freaking not. They can still win the division. They can still make their run in the postseason. They can still be a Super Bowl champion. This does not do anything for me one way or the other. Now, I'll say this. If we find out Jair Alexander, Carrington, Valentine are not going to play majority of the year, yes, then I'm very fearful that this could be a long season defensively. Then yes, I'm with you. But providing they're both going to be back and healthy for most of these games, I'm not necessarily concerned at all about how this whole thing is going to play out. Not at all. And what about this dude right here? You got to be happy about this dude.
He's had runs of 16-9 on this drive. Second down, one. Darnold again deep and picked off. Intercepted. For a fourth time in four games, McKinney does it again.
Four times in four games. First time in franchise history that anybody has done that. First time in franchise history. Packers lose 31-29. Let's go inside the box score, brought to you by our good friends over there at Steelwind Industries. They do a great job over there. And, of course, a sponsor of our toy drive coming up again this year, week of December 2nd. We're there at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. I call them the guardian angels of our toy drive. Just great, great people. And great fabricators and so forth down there in Oak Creek at Steelwind Industries. My thanks to all of them for being a sponsor here on the postgame show. Jordan Love, 32 of 54. 389 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. He threw 3 picks and still had a quarterback rating of 83. Still. And again, as we said earlier, this dude here was throwing behind guys. This dude here was throwing a guy's feet. The whole thing. By the way, a very classy move by Pat Murphy going on right now in the Brewers game. There's one out in the seventh inning, and Murphy pulls Adames out of the game to let him come out of his last regular season game, probably as a Brewer player, to a standing ovation at American Family Field. Pat Murphy is the man. That's all I got to say. Most people would not have done that. To do it in the middle of an inning on defense, you know, gets his last at bat, he just doesn't come back out. He sends it back out and lets him get his flowers from all the fans that are there. That's a pretty cool thing there by Pat Murphy of the Brewers. All right, back to the Packers. Sorry. Josh Jacobs, 9 carries, 51 yards. Emmanuel Wilson, 8 for 27. Love, 1 for 6. Jaden Reed, 1 for 2. They run for only 86 yards on the day. If you don't mind, I'd like to also go after Matt LaFleur on this beautiful day. For what happened in the first half of this game. Once it got to be, 14-0? I want to say maybe it got to 21, then it started. He didn't run the ball at all. It was snap, throw, snap, throw, snap, throw. And you want to know what that does? It puts your offensive lineman in a horrendous position. Because if there's no threat of the ground game and you're just saying, well, we're just not going to run it anymore. We're just going to throw. You're screwed. I don't care who the offensive linemen are, if the defense can pin their ears back and come after you. That's exactly what happened in the first half of that game once they got down, Tommy.
Yeah, and the Minnesota Vikings, who are blitzing every play, no matter what it feels like already, and disguising everything. You know, they had a formation where they had 11 men on the line, really. I think that Matt LaFleur definitely abandoned the run a little early in the game. You just couldn't when you were down 28, right? And even coming out of the first half and you're down 28-7, you can't do it. And one of those runs was right before the 2-minute warning on top of it too. Yep. So, I mean, they were effective at it when they had to be, and it was just consistent. It wasn't anything that was breaking big plays, but that's not what we've seen out of this running back crew that they have right now. I think that Matt LaFleur, I don't think he should be faulted for abandoning the run when you're down 28-0 in virtually the blink of an eye.
I am not a fan of ever abandoning the run unless you're in a situation where it's like the 2-minute warning or you're under 2 minutes, you have no timeouts left, and you've got to move the ball in that situation, fine. When you're in the first half of a football game, and you're playing a defense that's been getting pressure on quarterbacks all season long, to put your offensive lineman in that position is completely unfair to the offensive lineman.
Well, and this was something that I had mentioned last week after on the postgame show. With Malik Willis not being in the game, I feel like it limits Matt LaFleur's creativity, right? We saw one of those little pitch speed option-esque throws over to Jaden Reed today. I mean, they had guys in motion and orbiting the entire game when it was Malik Willis and the last 2 weeks.
You still had some of that today. Maybe not as much.
Correct. And you would feel like that would make an offense more complicated, though, wouldn't it?
Well, I guess. I mean, coming into this week, the Packers were the number one motion team in the NFL at like 80-some percent of the plays. They put somebody in motion. Now, again, when Aaron Rodgers was here, he hated having guys in motion all the time and drove them nuts. He didn't want it. Okay, fine. Now you have Jordan Love, and now you have Malik Willis. And they were trying to give Malik Willis every chance possible to succeed, so they were doing everything in their power to try and do it.
Yeah.
The other thing I said was going to happen, which did, and again, you could say, well, part of it, Sparky, is because you were down. I get it, but you completely abandoned the style of running game that you had that was working with Malik Willis when Jordan Love came back. And again, you were down 28-0, so I understand why you've got to throw it as much as you do. But you have Josh Jacobs. He had 9 freaking carries. Like, I don't care if you're down 28 or not. He should have 9 carries in the first half, regardless if you're down. You should never go 5-6 plays in a row without handing the ball off or doing something on the ground to relieve some pressure from the offensive line. And you've got a quarterback that's got a knee brace on. That's the other thing. This isn't Malik Willis that if they come running at him, he's just going to take up field 20 yards to the offensive lineman can't block him. You got to help your offensive line too.
And the fear of Luke Musgrave tipping. If Luke Musgrave and Emmanuel Wilson are both in the play, in the formation, they are passing it. It's got to be 80, 90% of the time.
Agreed.
There's no way. They love Emmanuel Wilson. He gets... maybe more. I don't know what the play count was, but he had just as many carries as Josh Jacobs. He's in the game, it feels like, half the time because they're going to throw the ball, and they want him in there for pass blocking. They do a couple of dump-offs to Josh Jacobs every once in a while, but nothing that not McCaffrey-esque right. or anything. But if Emmanuel Wilson and Luke Musgrave are in the game at the same time, they're going to pass the ball. It is a tip every time.
Crazy. Absolutely nuts. But that is where we're at right now as we go back inside the box score here. Again, brought to you by Steelwind Industries in Oak Creek. 7 catches for Jaden Reed, 139 yards and a touchdown. He had 8 targets, which wasn't close to leading the team. Dontayvion Wicks had 5 catches for 78 yards. Are you looking at the box score? So you know.
I am.
He had 13 targets.
A lot of drops today,
13.
Too.
13.
Yeah.
Yeah. 13. He did have 2 touchdowns as well. Reed had 1 touchdown. Tucker Kraft, 6 catches, 53 yards, 1 touchdown, 9 targets. Romeo Doubs, 4 for 39, 8 targets. Bo Melton, 1 for 28, 3 targets. Josh Jacobs, 4 catches for 27 yards. He had 6 targets. So in general, he had 13 touches in this game. Luke Musgrave, 3 for 13. Malik Keith, 2 for 12 on the day. Then we had the defense. Quay Walker, 8 tackles, 6 tolo, a sack, 1 tackle for loss, 1 quarterback hit. Eric Stokes, 7 tackles, 6 solo. Keyshawn Nixon, 7 tackles, 5 solo, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, 1 quarterback hit. Isaiah McDuffie, 7 tackles, 3 solo, 1 pass defended. Rashawn Gary, 4 tackles, all solo. Edgerrin Cooper, 4 tackles, including a tackle for a loss. Kenny Clark, 4 tackles, 3 solo. Xavier McKinney had 2 solo and a pass defended. Obviously, that being that interception. Javon Bullard had a couple, 4 tackles, I should say, including a tackle for loss. That was late there in the fourth quarter. Devontae Wyatt, 3 for tackles, along with 2 solo and a tackle for a loss. Guys, I'm just telling you right now, and I said this in the first segment, I'm just going to continue to say it over and over again. If you do not put pressure on the quarterback consistently, you are going to give up a ton of points consistently in this league, especially when you're playing down numerous cornerbacks. It's going to be very, very hard to win football games. And I understand that we all wanted to move on from Joe Barry. I get it. I totally understand. And I also understand we were all flying high with Halfley last week, including me. I was flying high too. But this type of nonsense here today, when you're facing a guy winging it all over the place and you have no answer, that's on your defensive coordinator. And you could say it's on the cornerbacks for not covering well enough and all that other stuff. And that's fine. I can understand how that's on them too. I get it. But you just got to do a better job, man. Kevin O'Connell had you for lunch. And Jordan Love can't be turning the ball over and so forth. 414-677-1250. Let's hear from you. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM. The Fan. The good news is Brewers start the playoffs. First wild card game coming up on Tuesday, so we got that, right? So tomorrow on the Green and Gold Monday, we can complain and whine and cry the entire game and the entire show on Wisconsin Sports Daily tomorrow. And then Tuesday, playoff baseball, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then if need be on Thursday, all of these games are American Family Field. Again, I've yet to receive an email saying any one of these playoff games are sold out, which should be very, very concerning that you can't sell out Brewers playoff games. So Tickets still available if you'd like to buy those. Coming up next on the other side, we're still going to hear from Matt LaFleur. He's talked already. We'll get to our drive of the game, defensive play of the game, all straight ahead here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express here on 1250 AM The Fan. Sparky with you. Packers lose 31-29. All right, let's get to it. Packers lose 31-29. If you want to vent, get some stuff off your chest, maybe talk about, yeah, there were some positive things in this game. Maybe you're not as bent out of shape as some of us are. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan as well. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. I'll always let him pick the drive of the game. Mr. Wirtz, what say you?
Ah, yes. I will remain positive for the drive of the game, so we will completely skip over the first half. There was not a lot great going on during that. Nope. We get to the fourth quarter. Green Bay has just scored. They were down 28-14. They come back, and a huge fumble by Keyshawn Nixon, and Edgerrin Cooper picked it up. The next drive, they have a short field. We see a little run up the middle from Josh Jacobs and a no-huddle, quick, easy pass over to my man Tucker Kraft, in which he did this.
Outside they go to Kraft. The tight end got by Smith to the goal line. Touchdown! Tucker Kraft!
Nice play there for Tucker Kraft. But again, as I said earlier, he also had a fumble in this one. So while that was the drive of the game, you could also say that the Tucker Kraft one was the turning point of the game on that fumble, unless you've got something else you want to point to. But him turning the ball over where he did was a big, big no-no for the Packers.
Either one of those turnovers in the fourth quarter, you could argue. The Jordan Love interception was such a bad throw, and the Tucker Kraft fumble, not helpful at all. But that got the crowd going, that touchdown, and it really brought him back into the game.
Yeah, it did. Listen, there are guys I really like on this team who didn't play well today. Dontayvion Wicks didn't play well. Doesn't mean we should give up on Dontayvion Wicks because he missed some balls. And some of those balls were tough catches. Some of those balls were behind him, at his feet. Now, I understand what the rule is, what the philosophy is, right? If it hits you in both hands, catch the damn ball. I get it. I understand. And I'm with you. That is exactly what should happen. And he didn't catch the ball. Especially when he gets targeted 13 times in a game. You got to catch more than what he did. But I still like Dontayvion Wicks. I still think he's a good football player. Tucker Kraft had a fumble. Didn't change my opinion of Tucker Kraft. Still a good football player, right? Narvison? I don't know if he's a good football player or not. We don't know. But as I said earlier, and I'll say again, when you've never kicked in that stadium and you don't know what the wind is like, there is an adjustment period that's going to take place. When the wind, as pointed out by the announcers, is blowing one way on the flags on the top of that stadium, but inside the bowl of that stadium, it's not blowing the same way, and you've never kicked there, that's going to be an issue. And it was an issue today. And again, the one he hit off the right upright, if that ball bounces in instead of out, they win the game. Or at least they're up, right? And I shouldn't say that, because if that would have went in, more than likely they don't go. The Vikings will go for it on fourth down late in the game, down by the end zone, so forth, whatever. And it's completely different. But I was telling Tommy, I said, when the Packers got the ball back before they went down and scored that touchdown, I said, Tommy, so they get a touchdown here, recovered onside kick, they could win this thing with a field goal, and O'Connell is going to get blasted for going for it on fourth down there trying to get Aaron Jones a touchdown.
I think he was just banking on there's no way Green Bay was going back to a kicker to win the game.
I'm just saying, man. Tony in Texas, you're next here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express as the Packers lose 31-29. Sparky with you. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Sparky. I'm not moral victory guy. But
neither
I mean,
am I.
Let's face it. It's September. They play another quarter, the Packers win. They probably played the worst two quarters of football they possibly could play. And, you know, it's 28-0. They have scored, 29-3 in the second half?
Yep.
So I look at this game, and I don't think Jordan Love should have played, for the record. I think Malik Willis should have started. But the Packers doctors obviously thought otherwise. And Jordan played, and Jordan's got to be better. He's got to be able to, not turn over the ball, hit his receivers in stride, and our receivers got to be better too. Wicks had a couple of touchdowns, but Wicks also dropped a touchdown, dropped a key first down. Overall, a lot of mistakes, self-inflicted. Again, Super Bowls are not won in September. Packers will be better in December. But the kicking game, Spark, they got to figure that out.
How?
You cannot move.
Who? Who's the guy?
I don't know.
Who are you going to go get? You're going to go get Mason Crosby? Who's the guy you're going to go get?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I saw LaFleur's comments after the game, and it sounds like they're going to stick with Narveson, but they make those field goals. Yes, they win that game. So a lot to build off. You know, this vaunted Flores defense was not as good. Come on. They got anything they want in this game, Spark, right?
Yep.
I mean, how many yards? Do you have these stats nearby? What was the total yardage per team? They were moving that ball up and down the field.
Yeah, they were. But, I mean, again, Jordan Love threw for 389 yards by himself with three picks. 389, and he wasn't very good, as you pointed out, as well. I mean, so that all goes with it. Total yards, 374 for the Vikings, 465 for the Packers.
Yeah, so you look at this. If you're LaFleur, you're like, hey, we didn't play our best game, probably played our C-minus level game. We almost won the game against a team that's 4-0 that some are calling a potential Super Bowl team.
No.
You go into L.A., the schedule gets a little bit lighter after that, and just build and build and work your way till December. Hopefully Watson's going to be okay. But overall, this team is good. Defensively, I did not like what Halfley brought in the first half. I don't know what you think, but where's Rashawn Gary? I'm going to leave you on that spot.
I led the show with it. I agree. Where is Rashawn Gary?
Where is Rashawn? I'm sorry. I didn't hear the
Tony, this is the thing. This is the thing. Jeff Halfley is coaching like his front four can get pressure. They're not. Right. So if they're not as good as you thought they were, then you have to adjust before it's 28-0. And Tommy Wirtz, my producer, said, but Sparky, they gave him short fields because those goofy interceptions or whatever, the turnovers. I'm like, fine, but you can't allow him to go 4-for-4 to get 4 touchdowns. Hold him to a field goal once in a while. That would work.
Spark, they're paying Rashawn Gary like Micah Parsons.
Yes.
Joey Bosa.
Yep.
You're not getting that production.
Nope.
They're paying Kenny Clark like Aaron Donald. I thought Kenny was okay today, not great.
He's not been great all year.
No. So you're paying these guys like all pro type players, and you're not getting that production. Nope. And where was Jair Alexander? Of course, he was hurt again. So
yeah.
You're up through.
Oh, we lost Tony. Thanks for the call, Tony. Sorry your phone dropped out or something. Again, he's living in Texas, obviously streaming us at 1250 AM. The Fan, streaming us on our Odyssey app as well, AUDACY. You can do the same thing. If you miss anything on the post-game show or on Wisconsin Sports Daily, weekdays from 2 to 5 p.m., you can go back, listen to the podcast versions at 1250 AM, The Fan, as well as, again, on your Odyssey app. He mentioned the schedule. Next week, they're in L.A. against the Rams, a 325 start. Both of their starting receivers are out, okay? So that should be a winnable game, you would think. Then you come home against a Cardinals team that has Marvin Harrison Jr., who has been balling out fine. The rest of it, that should be a winnable game. Then you're home against the Texans, and they were in a dogfight all day today themselves. They, especially the defense, has looked very beatable at this point. They play today without Tank Dell. Nico Collins had like 150 yards receiving today or whatever, so he had a big game for him. But they look beatable. At Jacksonville, horrible. They're just not very good. Then home against the Lions on November 3rd. So you have four games that I think are all winnable style games if you just execute the way you're supposed to execute and the defense is able to get pressure like they did against Tennessee. Can you be that aggressive? Now, against Stafford, you better be that aggressive. Against Kyler Murray, he can run. So he's going to sit back probably and not blitz. Then it's going to be C.J. Stroud. Same thing. He's going to sit back and he's not going to blitz. Then it's going to go to Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence. You'll be pressure him. And then Goff on November 3rd, you'll pressure him. So two of these next five, more than likely, what you saw in the first half of this game is going to be what happens when you see Kyler Murray and C.J. Stroud. Because by all indications, he does not want to blitz or bring pressure against quarterbacks that can run, Tommy.
No, and Halfley also, we've seen him play very soft coverages. He's not afraid to give up the medium play on that. And you brought up the Quay Walker blitzing from the middle.
Like Joe Barry, by the way.
Right. You brought up the Quay Walker sack where he blitzed up the middle. In his formation, He can't do that. He's going to leave the whole middle of the field wide open. He's running 4-2-5 in the NFL because he loves his nickel corners on top of it. That's mm-hmm. why Keyshawn Nixon's always in the game.
Yep.
It's not going to be able to happen if you have a mobile guy, or even they're going to design more plays for Matt Stafford to just dump it over the middle to Tutu Atwell or something if they continue to do something like that. They have to switch it up in a scheme if they're going to allow Quay Walker to do that more. And personally, I wouldn't be opposed to moving Quay Walker around all over the defense.
Agreed.
I would not be opposed to it at all because I think Edgerrin Cooper deserves more playing time. I think that guy's a baller. I love what he brings to it, and I know he has got the biggest man crush on Isaiah McDuffie. But Quay Walker obviously got brought in for his athleticism. Let's see how athletic he is. See if he has some bend. Throw him on the outside a couple of plays for weird formations. It's not going to be any less effective than putting Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Preston Smith, even Enikbari on the outside. Does not matter right now. They have not been the guys. And on top of it, you were saying he doesn't know how not good his front four is. It got worse because the best player the last 3 weeks in that front four goes out with an ankle injury with two minutes left.
Devontae Wyatt.
Yeah, he looked pretty rough after that too, had to go to the locker room, obviously wasn't going to come back. But if he has to miss extended time, now you're going to have Slayton trying to get even more reps than he already has. Might as well switch it up, try to move some people around.
Yeah, we will find out what adjustments they make. Young Express, they have been consistently great. And right now they're looking for full-time independent contractors. And check this out. They're looking for local full-time independent contractors, local drivers. So you work with Young Express, right? You drive from point A to point B, pick stuff up, drop stuff off, call back to dispatch, and dispatch is amazing, right? They're 24/7. They're there for you to keep you moving, and they're very dedicated to make sure you're making money. 99% no-touch freight, so you don't got to be some gigantic dude in order to do this job. You pull up, they unload it, they load it, and then you go to your next job, and they unload it for you, and then you drive on. If you love driving for a living, this is the gig for you. Start that new career today. Become a full-time independent contractor. Join the Young Express team. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's youngexpress.com. Young Express. Success drives them.
It's time for the defensive play of the game. On the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Man, Cherry almost just hit a three-run homer. Guy caught it literally at the fence. Would have been a three-run homer, would have been 5-3, but no dice. Ball is out. Still losing 5-0 through 8. Brewers to the Mets, last game of the season for the Milwaukee Brewers. Packers, they lose today 31-29 to the Minnesota Vikings. That's their first division game of the season, so they fall to 0-1, 2-2 on the season. Next up at the Rams next week. We will be on immediately following that one next week, Tommy Wirtz and myself. Looking forward to taking your calls after that one next week as well. You would have to assume Jordan Love in this offense will look better. You would have to assume Jordan Love is not throwing behind all of his receivers. You would have to assume Jordan Love is not throwing at the feet of all of his receivers, and that he looks a lot more smooth going into next week's games. You also, I'm going to have to assume that Jeff Halfley learns his lesson, and we try to pressure Matthew Stafford with a whole bunch of receivers that aren't very good for the LA Rams next week. Kyren Williams, who was a beast for the Rams last year, has not looked all that dandy for the Rams this year. So, again, that's a very winnable game. You win that one, you're back to 3-2, and then it's Arizona after that. Again, this is not end-of-the-world stuff because you lost the game. It is encouraging that they didn't lose their fight, and they fought themselves all the way back into this thing. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from Jordan Love, all of that. Defensive play of the game time here. Now, again, there's lots to pick from, I think, in this one, I guess, kind of, sort of. And I could go with the interception for sure, obviously. But I'm not going to go with that one. I don't think I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to go with this instead.
Oh, they bring the blitz with Nixon. That's a long ball. Scooped up on the play, taken by Green Bay. Cooper got it.
Keyshawn Nixon with that forced fumble. At that point, it was 28-14. That's my defensive play of the game. That's the one I went with. in that situation. I want to see more Adrian Cooper, too. Like, I'm not sure what the snap count is. I'm sure we'll find that out later tonight or tomorrow when somebody goes through and watches this game and tells us what it is. But I just feel like if they bring Adrian Cooper more, that more good things are going to happen and more game-changing plays will happen if they blitz Adrian Cooper and bring him more consistently. Those are my thoughts. Tommy, what's yours?
Yeah, I agree. I think that whenever he is on the field, we know he's on the field too.
Yes.
And you wouldn't typically see that with an Isaiah McDuffie, even Quay Walker, right? You just assume they're on the field, right? I would love to assume Adrian Cooper is on the field. If you wanted to, I don't know if it technically counts as defense, but the muff punt, also huge in this game. Very big play to at least just give something positive to go in Green Bay's fashion. But, I mean, you heard the crowd in that clip. That was that defensive play was so necessary, and it led up into the Tucker Kraft touchdown. That was a huge play. And that's what Halfley's defense has kind of been. It is, we are trying to be the playmaking defense and not necessarily the stout, you know, Pittsburgh Steeler. We're just going to stop you from getting yards during the game.
Correct. The point of this defense is to create more turnovers than what you had last year. Mission accomplished. Yes. Through four games.
Yes.
Mission accomplished. They're creating fumbles. They're getting interceptions. They're creating big plays. That's why you were the leader in all the National Football League in plus minus for turnover or takeaway, giveaway type stat.
All that with a lack of sending pressure, too.
Yes.
It's all of that without sending a lot of blitzes. They were, I think it said 17% of the time they blitz. Otherwise, they're just sending four people. I think that's what they said on the broadcast today. I mean, this is all without getting pressure on the quarterback from outside or inside rush.
Exactly. Which just makes it all the more impressive.
Yes.
If you think about it, it makes it all the more impressive that you're doing it without getting any type of pressure. So, yes, I'm with you on that. You know, the other thing, too, I debated Quay Walker, maybe that sack, because he actually finally got home and did something. But there are moments where you watch this football team and you see something and you're like, why don't I see that more? Right? And as they learn each other, and I think it still is a learning process for Jeff Halfley. He's still trying to learn his personnel. You know, it's one thing to see your personnel in training camp going against your teams once. Okay. And it's another to have these little inter-squad practices against the other team's offense, and you kind of learn it a little bit there. But the first team defense didn't really play in the preseason. Three games, they really didn't play much at all. So now you're learning what you have. And now with injuries, you're learning what you have depth-wise as well. And now going forward, it's going to be, when we get to the offseason, Jeff Halfley is going to be able to tell Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, I need this on defense. I know you've drafted a million defensive players, but I would like this player and this type of player to add to my defense. And if they don't get better pressuring the ball in the front four, defensive line is going to be the number one priority at this point if they don't figure out how to get home on a more consistent basis. It just is.
Yeah, or some sort of edge rush of some capacity. I don't think that Halfley is in the Joe Barry territory like you were teasing earlier either. I think that because of how big they are at making plays consistently now 4 weeks in a row, creating multiple turnovers, this is a completely different experience on defense. Is it perfect? No. But I do think there's a lot of hope still and a lot more faith in defense because you know there is the capability of the big play, the Kevin Green, you know, go get them, it's your time
right. Type
play.
Yep.
This is the defense for it. They have a lot of play. And they were missing one of their biggest ones. Again, Jair Alexander did not play today. As overrated or underperforming as people may say he is one of the best playmakers on the defense. If it wasn't for Xavier McKinney, he'd probably be the number one playmaker.
God bless Xavier McKinney. You want to talk about the free agent signing of the offseason right now.
Yes.
In the National Football League. Xavier McKinney is that guy.
I love, totally not related to his play at all. I think the swag on the long arm sleeves he wears just makes him look that much tougher on top of it. That's just my one piece about that.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, you know how Eli Manning, you know all the guys wear the tight sleeves on the jersey. Eli Manning would wear the big baggy ones.
Yeah.
Xavier McKinney wears the big baggy ones. I think he looks so cool when he does it. That's it. That's all I have. We can move on from that. But
oh, my God. My thought was going back to that Giants offseason Hard Knocks, which we watched all of and we talked about every week on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Everybody gave Joe Shane so much flack for not matching Saquon Barkley's deal with Philly and letting him go, including Mara, the owner, who said, man, you better be right. Like, we better be able to move the football and run the football if we're letting Saquon Barkley go somewhere else. Nobody brought up Xavier McKinney's departure at all. And I'm telling you right now, that Xavier McKinney departure to me is having a bigger impact on this Packers defense, and I think maybe Saquon is over there on that Philly offense.
Oh,
by the way, Jalen Hurts continues to turn over the ball at a high amount. So, yet again, as I've mentioned before, and I'll say again, when you lose a play caller that you're successful with as a quarterback, sometimes you can go sideways or revert back to old habits. And that is exactly what happened in Philly. Shane Steichen left, went to Indy, and Jalen Hurts has not been the same dude since. And they've changed over staffs again this year, trying to find somebody to make it work with him. So, yeah, again, too bad, so sad for Philly if he can't get things going. But again, playing without A.J. Brown, playing without Devontae Smith, again, playing without his top two wide receivers, and it's a struggle. That's obviously part to it as well. So, Packer fans, when you start talking about playing without your two best cornerbacks, that's okay to say, hey, it happens. But there was a lot of other stuff to talk about in this game as well. Coming up next, we'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Still time for you if you want to jump aboard, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Sparky with you. I got to tell you, this one here is tough. You lose the game. Anytime you lose a game, to find an MVP is always a tough thing to begin with, right? You lose 31-29. There were very few people that played a clean game in this one. Seemingly everybody that was on the field had some type of mistake or miscue at some point in the game. That's what it felt like to me. Dontayvion Wicks had two touchdowns, but didn't play all that great in my mind. So I'm not giving it to Dontayvion Wicks. I'm going to go Jaden Reed. 7 catches, 139 yards, and 1 touchdown, 8 targets. Didn't he drop like a little pass, screen pass or whatever over to the one side? I think that was his only bugaboo in that whole thing. So I'll say Jaden Reed, my MVP of the game. What say you, Tommy Wirtz?
MVP of the game. I like the pick. I'll go different from you. Okay, maybe not a popular pick. I think Jordan Love in the fourth quarter was great. I think he was awesome. I think that he definitely found some sort of adrenaline. I know he was banged up, probably shouldn't have played this game. Came out there, wanted to ball with his boys. I think Jordan Love, I think this was a Brett Favre-esque game. I mean, you saw him rock the jersey today.
Jacob Morley tweeted that out as well earlier today, of him walking in and then the stat line of him. Jacob Morley tweeted out and said, and a great tribute.
Right. This is exactly something you would get out of Brett Favre. I mean, he's thrown for almost 400 yards. He's got 4 touchdowns. He has 3 picks. The third pick, terrible pick. Not a good look. It was in the fourth quarter. I get it. But went down there, scored in a minute on the last offensive drive of the game to give you a shot in a game you had virtually no business being in. Jordan Love, I think it's awesome that he came out and balled out today. I think you leave this game with so much faith in Matt LaFleur. I think as long as he's at the helm, everything's great. I love Jordan Love today, especially in the second half. The first half, obviously no, but just to be different from you and Jaden Reed, who I've said multiple times on here is our best offensive playmaker, I'll give it to Jordan Love today.
All right, let's go to Dave in Cudahy. You're next here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. What's up, Dave?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I wanted to call in. I watched a lot of that game, and I mean, it is just as disappointing as we talked about, especially given the level of success that we have seen over the past 2 weeks with Malik Willis. Now, I'm not in the boat that maybe some of the callers have been going in about let's bring in Malik Willis and there's a QB competition, whatever, any of that nonsense. But, you know, I spoke to my brother earlier this week, and he told me that he was worried about Jordan Love and where he was going to be at. I 100% agreed with him then, and he probably even convinced me even more so. There was a lot of rust to be had. 2 weeks off is going to get exactly what you saw, especially in that first half. And when I called in a couple weeks ago, I did say the thing that I was looking for more than anything was for that defense to be more aggressive, and we're still not seeing that, and that has been one of the absolute worst things about this Packer team is that everything is just so safe. We need to be more aggressive. We need to be more complex on the defense with the schemes. We need to be more complex on the offense, too, especially if Jordan Love's in there, because we've seen it with Malik Willis, so we know it's possible. I mean, this was going to happen eventually. We were going to have some game that kind of held us back a little bit, but we need to regroup and start back off strong next week when you see the Rams.
All right, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Dave. Yeah, aggression is good. Being aggressive is good. But you got to be smart about being aggressive too, right? I mean, it plays both ways. So if you want to be aggressive, let's say, defensively, and bring more rushers, then you have to be comfortable leaving inexperienced guys or guys that aren't that good on islands at cornerback. That's obviously part of it. And that's the part where Jeff Hafley did not want to venture to in the first half. And I'm sure that's a major reason why he didn't want to blitz necessarily a ton in the first half, because he wanted his safeties and everybody else to help these cornerbacks out there in the secondary.
That seems very contradictory, too, for him, though, for Hafley. If you're so worried about your inexperience in the secondary the whole season, we'll just say, because he's run the same scheme the whole time, and that's why he thinks his front four right. is awesome. Then why would you have more of them on the field?
Well, this is the thing, because you had two guys hurt. So Ballantyne and Nixon had to be your two main corners out there with Stokes.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what Eric Stokes really is good at, but either way, I mean, those are the three corners that you were relying on to go out there and cover Jefferson, Naylor, and Addison. And on top of that, give credit to Sam Darnold, because he was spreading the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was focused in on just one guy. Now, that last drive when they moved the football, he was focused in on Justin Jefferson. But outside of that, he was spreading the football all over the place in the first half. He wasn't going to the same guy twice, I don't think, anywhere in the first half. Somebody else was catching the ball. They weren't trying to force the ball to Aaron Jones and get him 150 yards rushing and get him touchdowns or nothing like that. I thought the game plan and the execution by Sam Darnold was really good there in the first half. And then in the second half, when the Packers finally made some adjustments, that's when that Vikings offense slowed down and this Packers team started to look like the Packers team they did the previous, 3 weeks of the season. But it was too late by that point.
Yeah, and it was the best a defense has looked against this Vikings offense that half, that second half in general.
Hey, left allowed 3 points.
I think that you have to give some credit for the adjustment. I understand it was late. I understand that you got beat on the first drive of the game, so obviously you didn't game plan it correctly. But I actually have been a pretty big fan of the Hafley defense, especially in the second half, how it gave the offense a lot of opportunities to really get after it. And they capitalized on some of them, but then we have the Tucker Kraft fumble again, the Jordan Love interception again.
Yep.
There was more drives than where they could have gone down, got a field goal, got another touchdown, and we're talking about a completely different game at the end of this.
Yeah, no doubt. Dream Big tweets at Sparky Radio. The punter, 60-yard average on 3 punts, 2 inside the 20. Yeah? Great. Whelan is awesome. I said earlier, to hell with Narvison, teach Whelan how to kick field goals. Figure it out. You're laughing at me. Of what's out there, again, Robbie Gould retired, Crosby retired. Now, if you want to convince one of these old guys to come back here and try and kick, feel free. See what you can do. I tell you this much. I don't want him to, Key being Gutekunst, to go out and pick up another free agent rookie off the street that's never kicked at Lambeau, has no idea how to deal with the winds at Lambeau, and it's going to be in a learning experience all season long. Because right now, folks, that's what we're in store for. We're in store for a learning experience. Today, the learning experience was, wow, the wind's blowing this way with the flags. Oh, wait. That's not what the ball's doing, though. What the heck is going on? That was all a pregame before the game even started. He had issues. And then you got into the game, same issues, nothing changed. Can't be all that surprised. Rich Bisaccia is the special teams coordinator making $1 million a year. Now you would think, just me, that if you're watching him struggle in pregame, that, A, hopefully you're trying to help them and figure this out before pregame is done, as far as, hey, you want maybe want to play it a little bit more this way, and distance-wise, may want to account for this, and work with him to kind of get an idea. Now, maybe they were working together, and Narveson couldn't figure it out, but you cannot be in a situation where your field goal kicker is missing multiple field goals in a game.
What about
in
this?
In a divisional game on top of it, at home!
What about these three names? I got three names here who are current free agents kickers, okay? Riley Patterson, previously with Washington, okay? It doesn't really excite much. That's three.
Nobody's going to excite much, I don't think, on this list.
Randy
Tommy.
Bullock.
Who was with the Titans for a long time.
Brandon McManus. Brandon McManus is an exciting name. That guy was awesome in Denver. Obviously, much easier to kick there and get farther, but knows kicking outdoors, has a leg on him. He's only 33. He made $2 million last time he was a kicker. Brandon McManus, still available.
Why?
What? Why not?
No. Why is he still available?
Well, from obviously they lost faith in him. His previous team. Do you have faith in Narveson now?
Look his numbers up. Look his numbers up. We got to play Matt LaFleur. Before we play Matt LaFleur, look up McManus's numbers from the last year or two. I have no faith in Narveson, no. So, obviously, of what you said, or a bunch of three retreads, yeah, sure. Any of them would be fine at this point overwatching Narveson. And yes, taking a kicker that kicked in Denver with, you know, wind and snow and everything else that comes along with it would be a preferential choice, I guess, at this moment in time.
Last year, 2023 stats, 81% field goal. He didn't miss a kick from 39 yards or in. Went 11 of 13 from 40 to 49, 5 of 10 from 50. So obviously struggled at 50. Didn't miss an extra point all year.
Koo in Atlanta. He's been there for a while. Kicked a 58-yard field goal today. Again, in a dome. To win the game for the Falcons. This kid, Narveson, kicked a 59-yarder in preseason to win the game for the Titans. Now, Narveson had no chance of making the team whatsoever. They brought him in just for an extra camp leg in case their guy got hurt or whatever, but he knew he wasn't making the team just to give him a look against somebody or for other teams that had interest. Sure. Yeah, fine. McManus is fine, I guess. Fine. Sure.
I think it's worth a phone call.
Sure.
Was yeah. Ryan Tannehill worth a phone call? McManus is worth more of a phone call than Ryan Tannehill was.
Yes. Because you need to figure this out. Yes, I agree. Totally. Do you have the game log for McManus?
I can get it right here, yes. I have.
Go
the
through
game
the game log.
Log
and tell me how many times he missed two field goals in a game last year. Two field goals or more in a game.
Two games
he missed multiple field goals?
Yes, and he played every game.
Nope, don't want him. Never mind.
Okay.
Don't want him. To cross him off the list.
That's
don't want him. No. Nope. Never mind. We'll go with the rookie, and then we'll just go with the rookie and see what happens. Hey, listen, you are in a situation now where if you move off of Narveson and you're wrong again, and the next guy comes in and can't kick field goals, it's just going to be a huge snowball rolling down the hill. You very well could have kept Carlson and been done with this thing and just went with it. At least he has a year of kicking inside that stadium, dealing with the wind conditions and everything else. Or you could have let the veteran Joseph come in and kick. Who, by the way, what was he, like 5 of 5 or something like that last week?
Yeah, he was a beast for New York. You already know it's a snowball, though. I mean, this is the third kicker that you have right now.
It's going to gain traction as we go through the season.
This is the third kicker that has not worked. If you want to say Carlson and Greg Joseph both didn't work, Narveson does not work, has not worked. What's the harm in getting a fourth guy in there then?
But if you're saying that McManus missed multiple field goals twice last year, then why would this Packers front office move off of Narveson? They would just say, the guys that are out there, they did this too last year.
Because the field goals were all reasonable. He didn't miss a single kick inside of 40 yards. We are holding our breath on 40 and in on Narveson at this point. It's not as if, he can't hit a 50-yarder. He doesn't have the leg for it.
Yeah.
It is every single time you hope that the field goal post is 5 feet wider on the right side.
I say train wheel and how to kick field goals. Move on. All right, let's hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur after the Packers lost 31-29. I'll blink. I'll blink a lot, I promise you. If you have to put Narveson out there again, me and everybody else in Packer Nation outside of Matt LaFleur will be blinking a lot. Now, again, I'm not saying he has to say that, Matt LaFleur. I'm not saying he has to say it. He chose to say it. Now, the good news is next week he's in a dome, right? He's outside. Or, well, got the roof over there, out there in L.A. So, from that perspective, no excuses. Don't be clinking things off the right upright. Don't be missing kicks inside a 40 that Tommy Wirtz has been harping on. Don't do it. Next week in L.A. against the Rams, I want to see 3 for 3. I don't want to hear about missed field goals. I don't want to hear about missed extra points. I don't want to hear about any other damn excuses. You go out there, you execute, you do your job, and that way, everybody will relax at least for 1 week until they play Arizona, Tommy.
I have no faith. I've lost all faith in the kicking game. I want change. That's where I am with it.
I don't think it's going to happen. Because at some point, Gutekunst has to realize, if I keep making change, I'm never going to get the right
guy. What if we have his exact same... What if it's 0 for 2 next week in a dome? And then is there change?
Well, the good news is, those three guys you listed earlier, McManus and them, they're also going to be available. Yes. Still all sitting at home on their couch. So even if he goes 0 for 2 again, or 0 for 3 next week against the Rams, you can still go get any one of those three guys next week. Right?
I think that... I think you've seen enough to pull the trigger on it already. I do. I think it has to happen if it happens another week. But I already think that if the move were to be made, I wouldn't blink at that. Wouldn't blink at that at all.
You want Carlson back?
Oh, gosh. You put me in a tough spot here. I noticed I didn't say his name on the three names listed. Maybe... Maybe I want Carlson back.
There's no chance.
Maybe.
There's no chance Brian Gutekunst is calling Anderson Carlson up.
Oh, he's not going to.
He'll call you before he admits screwed up
he's
by cutting
gonna,
Carlson.
He's not going to go out and get him. I'm saying, from a fan perspective, everyone... Carlson at least had a leg on him. You didn't know where it was going, but you could send him out there for a 55-yarder if you wanted to. Narvison hasn't earned that at all. Not at all. I don't want to hear about the 59-yarder he hit in preseason of a game that does not matter.
Yep. Again, I think it's a very bad situation they got themselves in, and we will see how they get themselves out of it. All right, Jordan Love talked as well, you said, right?
Yep, he should be in there too.
All right, we'll hear from Jordan Love coming up next. The Packers lose 31-29. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, our guy Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. You can always go back and listen to this podcast form at 1250amthefan.com or listen for free on your Odyssey app, AUDACY. Brewers update, they lose to the Mets today, so their season officially in the books. Playoff update, it appears, based on MLB Network, Brewers lost by the way 5-0. It appears that this Mets-Braves doubleheader that is supposed to take place tomorrow, whoever wins game one is in. That's what it appears as of right now. So the winner of game one will be in the playoffs of that doubleheader tomorrow. That's how this appears it's going to play out. So they're definitely going to have to play. My question is, if it's that cut and dry simple, then why is there a game two? If whoever wins game one's in, then why are they playing a second game for? For bonuses and game checks for these guys? I mean, there's no sense to playing a game two if it's meaningless. Because if I'm the Mets, I'm not playing anybody in game two. I don't want anybody getting hurt out there. If I know I'm in, same if I'm the Braves, I'm not playing anybody. Now, from a Brewers perspective, who do you want?
Gotta be in the Mets. Or, I mean, Atlanta's not Atlanta right now, to be fair. They obviously have a lot of injuries, but...
Still got Max Fried.
I would argue, yeah, you want the Mets. You just saw them. You have a little bit of familiarity.
Yeah, I feel good about playing the Mets, too.
Yeah, I'll be at game two if anyone wants to find me there.
Well, hopefully it's not you and a bunch of empty seats. So, otherwise, maybe you get your whole section since the stupid thing's still not sold out. I don't understand. Maybe it's because people want to know the times before they buy the tickets.
Yeah.
My kid and his friend bought tickets for Tuesday night, or Tuesday. But... if it's a day game, they're going to have to refund them because they got to go to school.
Right.
So they can't go. So they're gambling that it's a night game. Now, it appears Brian Anderson said Saturday, I think it was yesterday, Friday or Saturday, he said his thought was, now remember, he's one of the national announcers, but I believe he's in the AL. His belief was that if it's New York or Atlanta, the Brewers face, it would be a night game on Tuesday, he thinks. So We'll see if that's how the whole thing plays out. All right, Packers lose 31-29 to the Minnesota Vikings. They will come back here from Packers quarterback Jordan Love, who threw for a lot of yards, 389, threw four touchdowns. That's good. But he had three interceptions and didn't look good for most of the game. We'll talk about that next and hear from Jordan Love.
What play or plays changed today's game? It's time for the Turning Point of the Game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, people. Let's chit-chat here for a second. So you lose the football game, 31-29 to the Minnesota Vikings. You're now 2-2. Again, not end of the world. Fine. Jordan Love comes back from injury. Did not look great. Again, if you didn't watch the game, you go, holy crap, he threw for 389 yards, Sparky. How is that not great? Well, he threw three picks. He had four touchdowns. The problem is, even when he was completing passes or guys were dropping balls, they were behind guys. They were at guys' feet. Like, he very rarely did he hit anybody in stride. It just wasn't a thing. He threw that one. Who was that one touchdown pass to down the right side and the corner never turned? Murphy never turned. And
that was the Jaden Reed touchdown.
That was Jaden Reed touchdown.
That was
on the right
a beautiful
side.
Throw.
Perfect throw. That was perfect. But for the most part, he wasn't hitting guys in stride by any stretch of the imagination. And guys like Wicks, who had 13 targets, was dropping balls low, dropping balls behind him. When I mean dropping, I'm not saying they were like right at his chest and he didn't hold on. I'm saying it hit his hands reaching back, coming across the field, or hit his hands reaching down by his shoestrings trying to catch the ball, running at full speed across the field. That's what we're talking about when I say dropping balls.
Well, yeah, and obviously there was less zip because he wasn't planting on the left leg until later on in the game when he was in the, okay, whatever, we got to go after it mode.
Didn't trust it.
Right.
And again, that is some of what happens when you're coming back from injury, and especially it's an injury which affects what you do for your job, which is throwing the football. And legs are everything. Legs are everything in most sports. Legs are everything in hitting. Legs are everything in pitching. Legs are everything in almost every athletic sport you do. Legs are always usually the most important thing, and it's no different here. And you have to trust that your knee is okay. That's why you have a brace on it. That's why you've been practicing for the last 2 weeks to get back to this point. I wonder if at any point in, say, the first quarter of that game, if Matt LaFleur was watching Jordan Love and going, maybe we shouldn't have done this.
He did have a wince in the first half after a play that was
when
really bad.
When he got up, he was limping.
He talks about it. He talks about it in his presser.
Yeah. So we'll hear from Jordan Love right here, who talked after the game. All right, so this is the thing. I don't want this to be a thing he deals with all year either. That was Packers quarterback Jordan Love. I'm not playing the whole presser, but that was a little bit of it. I don't want this to be a thing he deals with all year, because I'm telling you right now, if you watch this game, you could see it was affecting him. Without question, it was affecting Jordan Love throughout this football game. And that is something you do not want to have to deal with all year, because he's not going to be the same quarterback that he was in the second half of last year if this continues to be an issue all year long, Tommy.
No. But you saw later on in this game that he still can be that quarterback.
Sure.
And the offensive weaponry, I mean, Dontavian Wicks and Romeo Doubs are thrilled that Jordan Love is back. They are so happy that they are going to get their opportunities, their targets. I mean, Dontavian Wicks, big game. His drops, yes, while some not poorly timed, they weren't 100% on him by any means because of the Jordan Love knee. But I think that you should not leave this game thinking that, oh no, Jordan Love maybe wasn't ready to play, because he shook off the rust after the first half, had a great fourth quarter. I think that if the knee is bothering him still, that you can't go backwards now, you can't now say, oh, he wasn't ready to play, we're going to put Malik Willis in after this game.
No, I'm not saying to do that. I'm just saying the question was, you know, are you concerned this is going to bother you all year? And Jordan Love said, well, I hope not. Because, again, it is going to be a problem if this is going to something to be bothering him all year. You know, if every time he gets touched, he's going to get up limping and getting back to the huddle, and then he's going to have to kind of work through that. That's not something anybody wants
to
watch happen.
I will say that I bet you it will bother his mobility all year. His ability to scramble, his ability to get away. The offensive line is going to have a huge task now of protecting Jordan Love, I will say that that lasts all year. Yes.
All year?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you can't be helpful when you go up a game with a game like this, and you heard the question, the run that bothered him that I had said that he talked about was his one time he scrambled and got 6 yards. You know, he takes a big hit,
right?
You know, gets rolled under a little bit. I mean, that's going to hurt all year if you continue to do that week in and week out. So I will say that his mobility and his scrambling ability is now going to all be, okay, if I can run out of bounds, I'll do it. If I can't, I'll throw it away.
Correct. And that's what it should be. You got to use your brain for that. And sometimes in the heat of the moment, will he do that? And that's the one thing we don't know. He talked about that all-out blitz that they brought, and he just threw that ball up in the air hoping Wicks could get to it, and obviously he threw it too early. Wicks never saw it, and by the time he did see it, it was too late. You know, those type of things are going to be things that, again, as we get into the season, you know, you call it rust, call it whatever you want, but you have to make the right decision.
I also think that that's probably a little bit of receiver fault too, because we saw that with Malik Willis's passes the last 2 weeks too on the jump balls.
Yeah,
you know, they were the fog or whatever.
Those
in
were both down the
Tennessee.
Left sidelines over the after those fireworks.
Right. Yes. I mean, they just never saw the ball. Maybe that was playing into something, but I guess understand the situation maybe, and we have a very young receiving corps still as well. You know, hey, you got to be ready for if you see this line is stacked up right here,
and you know
Jordan's going to get rid of it quick.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. No second guessing how great the folks are at Young Express. They are the best at what they do, right? And right now they're looking for full-time independent contractors that can be local drivers. Again, you're working with Young Express, not necessarily for Young Express, because again, you're an independent contractor. 99% no-touch freight, so all you're doing is driving for a living, driving for a career, right? They're going to tell you where to go. Go to Fond du Lac, pick this up, and take it down and drop it off in Kenosha, and then let us know when you're done with that, and we'll tell you where to go next. It's that simple. So 99% no-touch freight, which means they load it for you and unload it for you. Don't got to be some big hulking guy or anything of the sort. And that dispatch team, very, very critical, right? 24/7 dispatch team, over 700 direct customers. They're extremely dedicated, take it very personal to keep drivers moving. And don't forget, they're looking for people with cargo vans or sprinter vans. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. The Green Bay Packers come up on the losing side of things today, unfortunately, 31-29. We'll talk all about it tomorrow, and looking forward to doing just that on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's from 2 to 5 tomorrow afternoon. Plus, we'll talk a little Brewers as well, as by the time we get on the air, that first game should be definitely going between the Mets and the Braves. We'll have a better idea of what's going on with the Brewers, too. Enjoy the rest of your night. Have a good one. Toodles!
Wisconsin Sports Daily.
He is Mike Sando of The Athletic. Malik Willis was a third-round pick, only had 3 starts in the league to begin with. They didn't even have a passing touchdown. The job that Matt LaFleur and this